Why have a Christmas Eve service? Why? Why have a Christmas Eve service at a church? We could have a Christmas Eve gathering, but why is it helpful for the church to have something like this? Well, you might say, well, what is this? What are we going to do? You know, I grew up and not going to Christmas Eve services, and so, you know, this is kind of something I was thinking about as, well, what would I do if it was a Christmas Eve service and I was in charge? Christmas in our culture has been usurped by our worldly culture. What is meant to be purely a Christian celebration has now become, and you could fill in the blank, I wrote a list such as a Santa-mas celebration, or a me-mas celebration, or a get-mas celebration, or gift-mas, family-mas, man-mas, human-mas. What about the name of Christ? It is what? Christmas. Christmas. You see, Christmas needs a baseline. And we as believers, one of the wonderful benefits that we have as a church is that gathering together helps remind us of the things we need to keep in mind. Helps ground us with what's truly important. Just a few, well, with this last storm, we here in the Grove got almost 30 inches of snow in this, like, 24-hour period. Most of you understand that, realize that. It was an all-day shoveling, snow blowing. That's what it was. That was all day long. And in the midst of that, one of my neighbors came over and asked if I would help shovel off his roof. So I did. I can do that. And so we went up to the upstairs, and I crawled out through one of his windows. And he's an older gentleman, but strong yet. And he had a rope. And he said, I want you to tie that rope around you, and I'm going to hold on. And so we figured it out. We tied the rope around my waist, had it knotted nice, and he left me out. And he kept attention on that rope. And so I'm out there on a roof shoveling. The first one wasn't too bad. It was a rubber roof, so it wasn't overly slippy. The second one, however, was metal. Not a huge pitch, but nevertheless much more difficult. This was my first time, I think, shoveling off a roof. Maybe not. No, I've done it before. But I figured out the tricks to it. You know, look for where the screws are. And there's your cleat, right? But nevertheless, why am I telling you all of this? Well, when I got done shoveling off the roofs, I stepped back into level ground in the house, and I was like this. You know, I was kind of like a little off. You know, we as a church, as we gather together on a regular basis, or as we have this regular service where we remember what Christmas is all about, it's like we get back on that level ground after having an entire year where sometimes we're off a little bit and tilting a little bit, and we get back on that solid ground, and it reminds us of what truly matters and what's truly important. Tonight, we're going to do some singing. I have some scriptures I'd like to share with us as we walk down through the biblical journey towards Christ's coming. So as we begin, let's begin with a song tonight. O Come All Ye Faithful, hymn number 249. 249, hymn books should be in front of you. There's some books over there as well. O come, all ye faithful.
Come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born a King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. Oh, sing, all ye bright hosts of heaven above. Glory to God, oh, glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Jesus, to thee be all glory give. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord.
Let me ask you tonight, what did you enjoy as from that song as you were singing tonight? Something, a line that stood out, or a thought, or a scripture, anything tonight? Yeah. Yes. Good. Good. Oh, wow. Yeah, good. Yep, good. You want to do a duet? Do it together. Oh, isn't that sweet? Now in flesh appearing. That's so key, right? That's what we're celebrating, right? Good. Good. Oh, come, let us adore him. Lord Jesus, we come to you in prayer as we begin this time together. We recognize you tonight as our Lord and as our Savior, and we worship and adore you. Lord Jesus, we pray for our fellow saints around the world, around this nation and in our community, as, Lord, even tonight, they also commemorate the coming of the Savior. Thank you, Lord, and help us tonight. And edify our hearts, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Very good. All right. So, the Bible is the Word of God. We should say it is the Word of God. And I enjoy how it fits together. When you read in Genesis chapter 3, and I will read this for you. Listen to what it says. This is all the way back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. The Lord is speaking to the serpent in the curse, and he says this, "And I, the Lord, will put enmity between you, serpent, and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and you shall bruise his heel." And all the way back in Genesis chapter 3, there was this promise given. Not many details, but enough for us to understand that at the very beginning, God had a plan. And his plan involved the seed of a woman. And the seed of a woman who would overcome the devil, even though the devil might at one point look like he had won. That's all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. And that incredible promise is one of the many that God's people held on to down through the years. Let's sing another song, hymn number 259. 259 angels from the realms of glory. From the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. Ye who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Shepherds in the field abiding, watching o'er your flocks by night. God with man is now residing, yonder shines the infant light. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Sages, leave your contemplations, brighter visions beam afar. Seek the great desire of nations, you have seen his natal star. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Saints before the altar bending, watching long in hope and fear. Suddenly the Lord descending, in his temple shall appear. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Though an infant, now we view him, he will share his father's throne. Gather all the nations to him, every knee shall then bow down. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King.
Amen. How were you worshiping tonight as you were singing that song? You were singing, yes. And what were you singing? Words of great praise, weren't you? Yeah. Good. Yep. How about that concept of worship Christ, the newborn King? He was just a baby in a manger, right? And yet we know from the account specifically of the wise men that they were looking for the King of the Jews. And God had made that clear and declared it from the heavens. Carrying that title all the way to the cross. And he bears that title today. One day, what, he's going to come, right? Amen. What's going to be on his side? King of kings and Lord of lords. As we continue our journey through the scriptures, this is by no means exhaustive, but I love how the Bible fits together. When Jacob blesses his 12 sons, when it's Judah's turn, he says to his son Judah, "Thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey. My son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up?" Now listen to this. To Judah he says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." Of what tribe was Jesus? Any ideas? Judah. That was a clue. Judah. We're singing about a king, and it says the tribe of Judah, the scepter shall not depart. Who holds a scepter? A king. A king holds a scepter. And so these nuggets of promise found throughout the Bible hundreds of years prior to the coming of Jesus upon the earth. After this blessing from Jacob upon his son, Judah, there does come one of the tribe of Judah named David. And David becomes the greatest king of Israel. And before David died, the prophet Nathan declares to him God's covenant. And he says this to the king David, "When thy days be fulfilled, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and I will set up thy seed after you, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him, away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Thy throne shall be established forever." According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. Forever. Forever. How many times do we use that word in our lingo? I guarantee this is forever. And how often can we truly hold to that? You see, the forever is something that is of God's design. For God is everlasting. God is eternal. And not only has he declared that there would be one who would be of the seed of the woman who would bring the devil down and declare great victory. It would be of the tribe of Judah, of the Jewish people. It would be of David's line, King David. And he would have a king. He would have a king, and he would be a king, and have a kingdom, and that kingdom would be forever. And we know that the line of David did continue for many years, and God did raise some up and take some down and chasten the ones that disobeyed. Today there is no king in Israel, but one day there will be one who comes, who is that king, and the Bible declares him to be Jesus, the King of the Jews. Let's sing another song tonight, 272, "While Shepherds Watched Their Flock." Let's stand together, 272. Shepherds watch their flock by night, all seated.
tidings of great joy I bring to you and all mankind, to you and all mankind. To you in David's town this day is born of David's line, the Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be the sign, and this shall be the sign. The heavenly babe you there shall find, to human view displayed, all meanly wrapped in swathing bands and in a manger laid. All glory be to God on high, and to the earth be peace. Goodwill henceforth from heaven to men begin and never cease. Begin and never cease.
Amen. You may be seated. Well, the kingdom of Israel was divided into two kingdoms, one in the north called the kingdom of Israel, 10 tribes, and there was two tribes in the south, and it was called the kingdom of Judea. The kingdom of Israel was taken into captivity first in 722, and then the kingdom of Judah, which was where the line of David was reigning and ruling as king in Jerusalem. They were taken away in captivity to Babylon. The temple was destroyed. But in that process, as time was coming that they would be taken away, God sent prophets, men who proclaimed the word of the Lord to his people. God, time and time again, spoke his word and truth to his own, wanting them to heed his voice and to follow in his ways. Well, one of those prophets is Isaiah. And amongst many things, the prophet Isaiah speaks of Jesus in a very graphic way in Isaiah chapter 53. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1, Isaiah writes, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." This is not normally a Christmas passage, but I trust you see here the Christmas story. He had a physical beginning on the earth. Even though he is eternal God, he was born of the Virgin Mary and grew up in humble means. Attention did not come to him because of his looks. We read in verse 3 that he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. And as you consider Jesus and his humble beginnings and his life that was lived on this earth, walking and breathing this same air that we breathe, he understood our life. And he understood our sorrows. He himself was despised and rejected. This is the prophet Isaiah speaking hundreds of years before Jesus came. And yet the Jewish people who feared God were given these words of promise. How is this a word of promise? Well, let me continue reading and listen. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, and listen, but he was wounded for our transgressions. And so the God-fearing people, and I trust you tonight, understand that we have sin and transgressions in our life that we cannot pay for or get rid of in and of ourselves. We need help. And we see the prophet declaring, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. In Isaiah's day, this had not yet taken place. And it did not take place for hundreds and hundreds of years, but God preserved his word, and God-fearing Jewish people held on to it, waiting and longing. Is this generation going to be the one? Well, you're here tonight to celebrate Christmas, and you are right. He did come. Matthew and Luke give us the most exhaustive understanding of his coming as a baby. Matthew gives us the genealogy. Luke gives us a genealogy, both highlighting him being of the tribe of Judah in the line of David. God had made those things clear. Isaiah helps to clarify what Genesis chapter 3 meant, that he would pay for the penalty of sin. Matthew writes in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise: when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Understand, she did not know a man, but God saw fit that she would conceive a baby. "Then Joseph, her husband, being just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Now listen, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive, shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is being interpreted, "God with us." That again was something Isaiah the prophet declared hundreds of years before. He shall save his people from their sins. Why did Jesus come? To save people from their sins. Oh, I trust tonight as we think of Christmas, we think of Christ, and we think of Christ, we think of salvation from our sins. I introduced our time together tonight by just challenging our thoughts concerning why do this? Why get together? Why is it helpful for the church to have a Christmas Eve service? Because we need to reorient ourselves. Sometimes we get off balance throughout the year. Sometimes the culture and its influence presses hard against us. You know, annual celebrations were something that God established with his people. You know that? Think about in Exodus, as they were seeking deliverance from God from Egypt, and, And God passed over, and the firstborn of the Egyptians died because they did not know God's plan. But God revealed his plan to his people. Put blood on your door, the lamb's blood. Kill a lamb, put the lamb's blood on the side of your doors and above. And the angel of death passed over. And they were spared. Because they believed the word of God. And it was by the blood of the lamb that they were spared. That they were saved. In Exodus chapter 12, Moses declares the word of the Lord to his people that they should celebrate the Passover every year. And I want you to listen to some words that we might not have readily recognized when we have read such passages. But listen in Exodus chapter 12. Listen to verse 14. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Listen to verse 24. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to you and to your sons forever. And it shall come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, you shall keep this service. Now listen, I found this fascinating. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say to you, what mean you by this service? That you shall say, it is a sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshipped. God designed the annual feast so that his work would be remembered, so that generation and generation would remember, so that children would be provoked to ask the question, Daddy, why are we doing this? Why do we do it this way? Listen, we as the church, let's not miss this opportunity. We celebrate this every year. And may our celebrations be such that provoke our children to ask such questions as, why are we doing this? You see, the world has answers for them, for its own way. And it feeds the flesh, and it feeds the self. But God orchestrated the Passover and other like feasts in such a way that it would cultivate in the family the passing down of God's work amongst his people. And so let us look at Christmas as an opportunity to pass down the work of God amongst his people. This is not the only place where we see children asking such things. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 14, we read, and it shall be when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is this? That you shall say unto him, by the strength of the hand of the Lord, he brought us out of Egypt from the house of bondage. Isn't it interesting? The scriptures include these children's questions. Why? What is this? Deuteronomy chapter 32 gives this in a different way, a different perspective. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 7 says, remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, and he will show you, your elders, and they will tell you. Wow. Are you, dad, Mom, church leader, are you ready for people to come up to you and ask you the question, why do you celebrate Christmas? Why? What does this mean? And the scriptures here instructed God's people, ask your fathers, ask the elders, and they will show you. Psalm chapter 78, it goes this way, we will not hide from them, from our children. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Psalm 78, verses 4 through 7. So that they might set their hope in God. So why do we celebrate Christmas? Why do we have a Christmas Eve service? You know, I'm looking at it this year as a time for me to help my own heart, my family, and our church. To go back to that level ground, to find the baseline, and remember, it is about Jesus Christ. Clearly, Christmas is about Christ. So what is the big deal about Christ? Well, he's the answer to these promises we've been looking at tonight. He is that promised seed of the woman. He is that descendant of Judah. He is the son of David in the kingly line. He is the suffering servant that is wounded for our transgressions and died for our sins. He is the one called Jesus, who came to save his people from their sins. And so, church, we have a great opportunity. Let's make much of it. Men, lead in your homes. Make much of Christ. Make this an opportunity that provokes in our children curiosity. Why do we celebrate Christmas? To end our time tonight, we're going to sing a non-Christmas song. But I believe it's so fitting. To God be the glory. Hymn number 56. Let's stand together as we wrap up our time. Hymn number 56. To God be the glory.
Atonement for sin, and open the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. O perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus the pardon receive. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. To the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he hath.
A cappella on the chorus.
Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see.
Here we go.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Sing it, church. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he hath done.
Amen.